You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Monday morning. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Rookies report tomorrow for the Buffalo Bills. We've already got some teams getting camp for the most part underway. Rookies have already reported for the likes of the Chargers and I think the Detroit Lions as well. Got SEC Media Day going on. We got the Home Run Derby later tonight. And we've also got some lists coming out ranking quarterbacks and such over on SB Nation and ESPN as well. You know, for it being kind of the dead period of sports,
we got some stuff.
The MLB All-Star Week kind of is always that. Not really. Which is kind of nice. Because I dread these weeks. Because it's like, you hope something has popped up that you're like, I can ride with this for a little while.
Yep.
But like QB season 2 came out well before this.
Right.
So that had run its course. We're not getting Hard Knocks yet. There was no other sports documentary out yet. I think the Cowboys one comes out later in July.
There's a Cowboys one?
Yeah, about the 90s teams.
Hard pass.
I'm going to watch it.
Harder pass.
That's coming out later. So, you know, there really wasn't anything. And then even MLB, I mean, it goes for a break for a week. I mean, you have the All-Star break.
Right.
You have the game, but that kind of means nothing. And the Home Run Derby's Monday. It's tonight. You can't carry that for a week. So you're like, all right, well, what do we got here? Well, fun enough, we've got a ton. That also includes, and that I did not even mention, most of the league's second-round picks have not signed yet. 30 of 32 have not signed yet. That does include Bill's second-round pick, TJ Sanders. We'll touch on that throughout the week as well, especially with rookies reporting tomorrow. That seems to have a lot of correlation to Pablo Torre's report of potential collusion within the NFL and
yes.
Guaranteed contracts. We'll jump into that later on this week once me and Derek have kind of, I guess, both formed our thoughts, but also like just dove more headfirst into this.
We want to have a deeper dive about this before we talk about it comfortably, and I think that that's only fair. If we go on our current speculations,
It's speculations.
It's little to work with or relatively none based on who you ask of us.
So we'll dive into that probably more this week, likely as early as tomorrow with
yeah.
rookies reporting, but did want to mention that because if you have been somebody worrying, hey, why is TJ Sanders not been signed yet, both fair fear, but also most of the NFL has not had their second-round pick signed. And one team that does in Cleveland, well, they have one of them signed. The other one was arrested this week for domestic violence charges.
No.
So with Quishon Junkins. So,
not great, Bob.
Not great. On the quarterback ranking list, though, and this is something I've wanted to jump into. I've been waiting for this one to pop up, and this is Jeremy Fowler and ESPN. They've been doing this for every position. We enjoyed the conversation with James Cook one, him coming in eighth. Deion Dawkins, I believe, was on the offensive line top 10, while Spencer Brown was considered somebody I think that was either honorable mentions or was getting votes. I know he was on the article, just not in the top 10. We've now hit the quarterbacks, and unsurprisingly, Josh Allen is top 3. He comes in at number 2, only behind Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that is surprising at all. He goes up one spot from last year's ranking where he was 3. This is unsurprising at this point for Allen and his career.
Right.
He has ascended to the heights of very few people can even argue X number of players are even better than him, let alone players at his own position. We have hit that point, and it has been a hell of a ride. And now it more seems like we're just seeing how far he'll rise the all-time lists, you know, as fans that enjoy that stuff. I will say, though, looking at this list, Derek, and Mahomes being one, not that long ago, I wouldn't have pushed back on it.
Right.
I really wouldn't have. But after the last 2 years, where, yeah, his team has gone to the Super Bowl and even won them, it hasn't really been all him. His production the last 2 years has dipped.
Including last year, where he was rather pedestrian on his standards. But I do think that there is enough there of, like, the physical talent's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is winning even when it's bad seasons. It's more or less, I think, like, the ranking of one this year is, this is kind of the last chance to be at one, big dog. And if you don't, well, then we're probably going to knock it down. I think it's acceptable for a means to an end, which is, yeah, we still think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback right now, but I do think that that can change. Like, it, it's something where it's like, yeah, maybe it can change, but the guy has won so much, and he is still incredibly athletic and talented that he can reclaim that at any time.
And also, I mean, specifically in the AFC, he does just feel inevitable. Even when he's not having a good year, whenever they play the Bills in the playoffs, he seems to have his best stuff. And ultimately, both Super Bowls he's actually lost, I think most would argue, kind of was nothing he could do.
The team would, it would be a routine. When the Chiefs have lost the Super Bowl, they lose it.
They lose it, yep. It's not close.
They do not have a good showing in a Super Bowl, and it is all or nothing with them.
Mm-hmm.
You either get them winning, and it could be in a bevy of ways, either dramatic and close or even going away comfortably. But if they don't show up, and it's that nothing, man, it is a nothing.
Yeah, both Tampa and Philadelphia really. And that's the thing. Both Super Bowl losses look similar because it is Mahomes just taking a beating the entire day. At least in the Tampa one, there felt like he was still making like awesome plays.
He was still trying to make plays. He was injured.
And he was still able to do it. The Philadelphia one was kind of just a wash.
It felt very early.
Like, by the start of the second quarter, it kind of felt like, ooh, as long as Philadelphia doesn't turn the ball over four times, this is going to be a walk.
And Philadelphia knows how to play a responsible enough game that was never going to happen.
But ultimately, the last 2 years for him, he's thrown under 30 touchdown passes. Last year, he's under 4,000 yards. Now, ultimately, he doesn't play the last game, but that still does count. He's under 4,000 yards. And that is pretty stark compared to the 3 years prior, where in 2022, he's over 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns. He wins the MVP. 21, 37 touchdowns, just under 5,000 yards. And then, and I think maybe his best season outside of his first year, 2020, 38 touchdowns, 6 picks, and 4,700 yards passing.
I think it's because he started out like a bat out of hell.
50 touchdowns, yeah.
That he's seen in a much different light. Like, even these two down years, say he is more on like the top end, but not like 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, like bat out of hell. I do mean that. If he doesn't start out like that, these conversations are much easier. Like
probably,
You could start balancing him out compared to the rest of the league. But it is because he's already done that, and it's insane, and you think to yourself, oh, he's still young enough that he could do it at any time.
Yeah, he's still under 30.
And he's still really good.
Oh, well, he is going to turn 30 this year, already has.
Oh, my God, where's my cane?
Start to fly through these years, man.
I hate it.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Most of his career has just been otherworldly, incredible, really kind of the entire time.
We're so used to him being one.
Yeah, it does lead to barely 4,000-yard seasons or just under and under 30 touchdowns to be like, man, really? And I do feel that way, genuinely, because I look at him and I go, it's arrogance a little bit, but like you were supposed to be the guy that mixes Peyton Manning stats with Josh or with Tom Brady's winning.
Right.
Like that's who you were, especially early in his career. And now the second half has actually been, oh, you're just Brady.
Mm-hmm. Like, which even then, I wouldn't even call that true in a sense either. Brady was always consistently good offensively once he got started.
Mm-hmm.
Like once he got enough years under his belt and he became Tom Brady, the perennial problem, instead of it being just a great Patriots team, it was Tom Brady. Once that happened, he never really dipped after that. Pretty sure there's only two times that he was under 3,000 or under 4,000, mm-hmm. excuse me.
It's a lot of his early career he's under it. Then once he breaks through
Once he figures it out, he has never really slowed down from there, except his final season.
Which is still 4,600 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks.
That's disgusting.
They do go 8-9, though. Like they're not a very good team. He throws a lot because they're down.
They're gross, though. That's still gross, though.
And he
4,600 yards?
Now, by the end of Brady's career, his last four seasons, he does not throw under 600 passes in a season. 613, 610, 719, 733.
Which is more of Tampa and its reliance on him.
Yeah, you look at, I mean, Allen didn't even throw 500 passes last year. Burrow threw for 652, but we all know what was going on with his team. They were down a lot. Lamar hasn't thrown over 500 passes in a season yet in his career. And Mahomes, 658, 648, then 597, 581. And so that's the thing. He's still throwing the ball a lot. His is just more, you're seeing the yards go down. Obviously, they're not spreading the ball around. And that's a big part of it, too. Last year, looking around, going, okay, we're all seeing the advanced stats on Worthy, right? He's been open deep. Why aren't you hitting him? Why can't you get the ball to him?
Because it's a low percentage play.
It's a low percentage play, but he's always been typically very good at it. But, yeah, it's still low percentage play. It's going to vary year to year. I think Allen's not a particularly great deep ball thrower.
No.
But he's had years where it doesn't seem to matter. He hits everybody. 2020 is one of those years, if I remember correctly.
2020 is the only year that that really happens.
Where he's able to hit everybody.
Because it's a low percentage play. And what was one of the biggest concerns with the wide receiver group heading into the year last year? Who's the deep threat?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Yeah, it's not a percentage play that he throws a lot.
Yeah. And if he does, it's like every other quarterback in the league where teams are defending it really well, so you're not going to throw it anyway.
Yeah.
With Allen in particular, it is. You're getting too high. We are getting too high with Josh Allen, and we're going to let him carve us up in a different way just because if he tries it, that means he went back to like 2018.
Mm-hmm. It is just, it's so curious, like looking at Mahomes and Allen. They're 1-2. And their season statistically with no context, like if you just blank looked at them, they're not particularly impressive in the modern day. Mm-hmm. They're good. They're very good seasons. They're not particularly impressive. Allen, 63.6 completion percentage, 3,700 yards passing, 28 touchdowns, 6 picks. His QB rating, 77.3. I believe that led the league. But ultimately, you're like, I mean, it's a good season. The QB rating's awesome, but the stats don't jump out to you. Mahomes, I've mentioned it. He's down below 4,000 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, 11 picks. His QB rating is 67.6. You look at a guy like Lamar Jackson's last year, and I know we've talked about this to death, especially the MVP race the last 2 years, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks, over 4,000 yards. His QB rating is 77.3. His quarterback rating is 119.6. He just is leading the league in most categories. Even his touchdown percentage leads the league. Burrow, we all know what he did last year in terms of just he let the league on fire. Yards per game, touchdowns, yards, completions, and attempts. Unbelievable. And yet, I don't really have the thought process to put Burrow at one.
No.
I'd even argue I would probably have Lamar Jackson over Burrow. Burrow comes in at three, and I'd feel pretty comfortable, and I'd put Lamar Jackson over Burrow. And part of that for me, too, is I like that Lamar can do more.
I do think that there is this relative ambiguity between those four quarterbacks of where you can rank them. 1 through 4, it is very comfortably in order, depending more or less on location of where you live, there's going to be a difference in order of the four quarterbacks, but it's inarguably who those four are.
So you're almost saying like it order them that as you may, the order list kind of starts you at may, five.
The real list starts at five. Mm-hmm. Because it is going to be a mix of Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. And where you live is going to depend on where 1 through 4 actually stacks up because biases are real. Mm-hmm. Let's not pretend that they're not. And I'm with you. I do think that Jackson should be one. But Allen's still very comfortably sitting at two.
Oh, no, I'm fine with Mahomes at one. And I feel a little uncomfortable about it. I think Jackson should be at least three. I'd put Burrow 4.
But I do think I do think Lamar Jackson has made his case for one.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen has made his case for one. Joe Burrow probably has made his case for one. And Patrick Mahomes has been one for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's now just finally starting to become, we should start calling it into question.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. Over the last 2 years, that talk is deserved. But he can reclaim that at any time. Because all four of these players have similar skill sets. Versatility in terms of manipulating pockets. Jackson and Allen on a lesser scale, more dangerous in that than others.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of doing damage with running the football. Like, it's two very different tiers. There's Lamar Jackson, Cliff, Allen, smaller cliff,
mm-hmm.
Mahomes Burrow. But there is something to be said, though, about they all have, in terms of base style of quarterback play, excitable, cartoonish, even, improvisation to mm-hmm. them. All of them have it. And they all utilize it in an elite way. And that's where I do think that, like, yeah, comfortably, the list starts at 5, which is getting really increasingly more fascinating to me. Jaden Daniels.
I would say, if you didn't know who it was, I was going to ask who you'd maybe want there. But yeah, Daniels comes in at 5. Obviously has, I'd argue, one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time. If you add in, you know, playoff success as well to regular season success, almost 70% completion percentage, 3,500 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. Does, of course, win the Rookie of the Year. Also goes to the NFC Championship.
But also, I look at the rest of the top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fair argument that should be made that Daniels should be at 5. Because I look at the rest of the list and I go, all of it actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah, 6 is Matthew Stafford, 7 Justin Herbert, 8 Jared Goff, 9 Jalen Hurts, and 10 Baker Mayfield, with the honorable mentions being C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and then others receiving votes, Murray, Purdy, Prescott, Rodgers, Tagovailoa, and Nix.
Nix already, really? Okay.
But I thought he had a great rookie year as well.
But I can go ahead and argue against any one of these players at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels, okay, it's only 1 year. We need to see what happens.
Right.
Stafford, it's been too many years. He's probably not a top 5 quarterback in the league anymore. Still really good. Still probably very deserving of being a top 10 quarterback. He will never reach that pantheon again because, you know, ages do have their limits. Justin Herbert is if man. But the problem with if man is I don't see him genuinely take over a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll take over a game, but not a season. And in the biggest moments, he does crumble. Jared Goff.
Kind of limited skill set. Very limited for you.
He's everything I said about the top 4.
Yep.
And Daniels. Goff's a statue.
He's the antithesis to that.
Yes, he's actually the last.
He's the old school quarterback.
He's the last voyage of the pocket passer. The pure pocket passer who does not have enough athleticism to do damage anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts is a solid, not elite quarterback, but solid will get you in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Baker Mayfield has limitations in his game athletically as well, but he works with what he has, which Tampa Bay has been very smart to supply him with one of the nastiest wide receiver rooms in the National Football League year in and year out.
On Mayfield, too, by the way, and the article points this out, only Allen and Jackson have more touchdowns over the past 2 seasons than Mayfield. He has 73.
But you know that athletically there is this plateau that he has.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's never going to have the elite athletic traits that the top 4 do, for example. Maybe top 5 if I include Daniels in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mayfield does not have that. But what he does have is the gumption, the leadership, the IQ, and enough stones to make the throws that will challenge a defense, even if his arm is not as powerful.
He's somebody, though, I enjoy watching him play. I really do.
He does know when to rely on his talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because he learned that lesson the hard way.
I mean, yeah, we've talked about the ending Cleveland and arguably how unfair it was, but also I think Baker will tell you, too, he had to mature by the time he got to Tampa.
And he also thought he could play through a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder,
mm-hmm.
which is a terrible thing to try to play through. And because of that hard-headedness, that stubbornness, it cost him and Cleveland. Not just his season, but his career there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to fight to get to where he is now all over again. Because if we do this list for 2021, heading into the 2021 season, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are all hanging around in this list.
Yep.
The rest of the names are probably different. Like, Stafford's there, but Herbert's not in pro yet. Goff has to re-wake up. Hurts isn't a pro yet. And Burrow is coming off of a knee injury.
After his rookie year. So, like, even then, you may like him, but...
You may like him, but he's not a top 10 talent yet at that point. So some of the names around them are different, but the 2018 class would once again show its strength. Mm-hmm. Those three would be there in 21.
I just wonder, looking at this list, because you mentioned it too, like the moment we get to five, but even then, are these top four really that much better than everybody? And it does feel like that, though.
It's not.
It does.
It's not that it does, but at the same time, it's also not like it doesn't. They all have production that is terrifying. And if we dropped any one of them into the other conference,
they're the Mahomes of the NFC.
There would be a different conversation about any one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you dropped any one of those four into the other conference.
Maybe you could argue against Daniels, Lamar, because of the playoff success. You can maybe argue against Lamar.
But you cannot argue what he does in season.
Right, right.
The team he is on, like say that the Ravens are in the NFC North, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably winning the division all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not any different. And he's probably a threat every postseason. It is about being the threat, the consistent threat.
Because
the NFC had this for the longest time in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he or the team, sometimes both, would collapse in the playoffs. Why does Aaron Rodgers only have one Super Bowl?
Only one Super Bowl appearance. It was due to later in his career really getting gun-shy, especially against the 49ers. And then early in his career, the defenses were horrendous.
Yeah. But at some point, Rodgers became part of the problem.
Oh, yeah. By the end of it, he became the problem.
And people do not like to admit that.
But by the end of it, he became a problem. He didn't want to take risks.
And, yeah, it's just one of those things of, like, maybe we should go ahead and acknowledge that these top four quarterbacks are really there. But it's also such a shame that every year only one of them is allowed to make a Super Bowl.
And, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. Like, outside of the Burrow one year, it's been Mahomes that has sucked up a lot of the oxygen.
And that's why Jaden Daniels in the top five makes so much sense to me, because the NFC is dying for that uber-talented type quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And it's not Hurts. Hurts won a Super Bowl. I think his placement is probably
Hurts
correct
because
at
of his team,
yeah,
is always going to be the premier threat. But he is not the premier threat. He's a solid quarterback who gets a lot of touchdowns rushing because Philadelphia can't punch the ball in.
Yeah, at the 1 yard line, they'll just give it to Jalen.
Why is it that he has so many rushing touchdowns on tush pushes? Better question I should be asking is, why aren't you able to punch it in anyway?
It's just for
why does
me,
it keep getting to the 1 yard line, guys?
For me, with Hurts, it's much more when you have players like Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert, and Saquon Barkley in your passing game, we shouldn't get to a point where 5-6 games last year, he's under 200 yards passing. That should be an offense that was never touched by anybody. And yet to end the season against the Rams, 179 yards passing, 118 against Baltimore, 108 against Carolina.
It's also because
those three are all wins.
But it's also because they didn't need him. You mentioned that Rams game. Saquon Barkley went nuts.
Yeah, he goes for like 200 yards. But it's still, for me, it's one of those. I don't like this reasoning. But maybe the team is too talented for Hurts to get full credit. But we've also seen enough from Hurts where we know he's a big-time gamer. In big moments, he can make big throws. He throws a beautiful deep pass.
You know what it is?
But he's not going to be the main show.
It makes sense that he's right near Mayfield, though. Physically, there are limitations.
Mm-hmm.
As a passer, his arm, it's not the greatest of arms. But it's still good enough to be a top-10 quarterback in the league. He has an overall skill set.
He has a Russell Wilson-like deep ball.
Yes, but it's never all that consistent. Mayfield, he has physical limitations. That's why he and Hurts are pretty much birds of a feather.
Mm-hmm.
Would Mayfield on the Eagles be the same successful team? Yes and no. They wouldn't have the tush push because Hurts
right,
squats
right.
like a house.
Too much. Yeah, he sweats too much, arguably.
And Mayfield does not have the frame for that.
Mm-hmm.
So they would never have tried it. But he would have Smith, he would have Brown, he'd have Goddard, which is relatively the same amount of success he's had. The difference is that there's been a lot of variance between Philly's defense and Tampa's defense.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to continue on with these quarterback conversations. How do you feel? Josh Allen coming in at two behind Patrick Mahomes, or even Lamar Jackson coming in at fourth after some historic seasons by him, Joe Burrow in three, and then Mahomes, of course, number one. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
The people I've talked to around the league firmly believe that Joe Burrow is playing the quarterback position the best, but he's not the most feared. Those other quarterbacks we're talking about, their fear factor is thick when you go against coordinators. How are we going to stop them, not only with their arm, with their mobility? Burrow doesn't quite have that, but when we're talking about decision-making, accuracy, eye level, people around the league believe that Burrow is the very best at that. Look, are they wasting his talent in Cincinnati? I don't know if they're quite there yet, but the pipes are bursting a little bit. They're always putting out leaks or holes in Cincinnati, whether it's the O-line or the bad defense, but they have a quarterback that can win it all for them and win an MVP. He looks prime for it.
There is Jeremy Fowler. We've been talking about his top 10 list the last few weeks, and today was the quarterback list. Top 10, Patrick Mahomes comes in at one, Josh Allen number two, Lamar Jackson at four, while Joe Burrow, who was kind of the main character of that clip, comes in at three, as he doesn't possess the fear factor that the top two do. I am surprised, Derek, Lamar Jackson also doesn't come into that. Because to be fair, as Fowler put it, it's how do we stop these guys on a day-to-day basis? Lamar absolutely should be on that list of how the hell are we supposed to do this?
Yes, but the Bills in one half of football kind of gave that blueprint.
Sure.
Sell out, force Lamar to make a mistake, and know that he can't come back from it.
Problem is, like, a lot of those mistakes just come in the playoffs. Like, it's not a regular season thing for him.
That's the weirdest thing about him.
He's not somebody that turns the ball over all that much until the end of the season.
And that it's almost unexplainable how it happens. Like, and he's not alone in this. Mm-hmm. If you look at a different sport for a team right nearby us up north, and go, why does this keep happening to you?
But you see it. I mean, it is a thing.
Like, the highest paid player in the National Hockey League has one goal
mm-hmm.
in the second round of the playoffs in his entire career.
Clayton Kershaw, Dodgers pitcher, for years,
was
known as the best regular season pitcher.
The choker.
You do not want to play him in the playoffs. Being the Dodgers, you do not want to play him in the playoffs.
You don't want to finish a series.
Before.
You don't want him pitching.
Yeah.
Unless you have games in hand.
And he was inarguably the best pitcher for like a 5-year run.
Like, I don't understand how it happens to players. What I do understand is that teams see it.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I don't know if it's respected, but sometimes might even weigh too much into it.
I was going to say, especially for these four. Yeah.
Which is probably how a 2-time MVP gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Of, that's why we rank him at four. There's a fear factor with Allen in the postseason where if he goes fire god mode, train has left the station and we're all just running, trying to catch it.
And really, even right or wrong,
and
the feeling is only his team can stop him.
And there's only one team that has slowed him down
mm-hmm.
in that venture. And when I say slowed down, I do mean that in the exact words. They don't fully stop him, but Allen's impacts can get slowed down at times against the Kansas City Chiefs. The last play of the Bills season.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Josh Allen has a great blitz called against him. He does everything setting the protection the proper way, but the Chiefs sent more men than the Bills had blocking. He's hot. You got to get rid of that thing, but there's no clear hot route being won.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go ahead and look at it and go, he's, and that's why it's Allen's at two as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
if he's able to beat everybody, including the Chiefs,
He probably is at one.
He's probably at one.
Like, it's the thing. Like, let's say the Super Bowl goes the same way for the AFC team. It's just the Bills instead of the Chiefs.
Allen probably gets his flowers.
He probably gets the one spot.
And that's also the other reason that I think Burrow's at three. Fowler mentions how the Bengals are ruining him, and it's potentially getting to that narrative.
Yeah.
How much run has Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals received? And Burrow, in particular, thanks to the last couple of years, because they made a Super Bowl and have since collapsed their team.
I look at that. I love that we were able to play that clip, because for me, it got in my head where, because I think you brought up, like, maybe we're looking too much into playoff success or playoff failures. But we've kind of gotten there with these four where it's like, we know what they do in the regular season, right? They're all going to get their MVP awards. Burrow will probably get one by the end of his career,
I'd imagine. What separates all of them at this point?
It becomes playoffs. Now, I think ultimately, Burrow is almost saved. It's a random list in the offseason. But he gets third because Lamar doesn't have the great playoff performances.
As a matter of fact, sometimes he's bad.
And Burrow, like you mentioned, did get to a Super Bowl. Of those four, it's only him and Mahomes that have gotten there.
And it is not on his performance and on his back that he gets to a Super Bowl. Cincinnati's defense is unreal.
But he definitely doesn't cost them the game.
He almost cost them against the Tennessee Titans, where he gets sacked nine times. Sometimes, when you get sacked nine times, eventually some of the onus is on you.
Some of the onus is on you. But he wins. So everyone kind of will forget about it eventually.
And this is the part that I know is exactly where it's not measured fair and balanced, and why one through four should be an assortment of orders based on where you're from. Wins are still, even in the playoffs, not a quarterback stat. Patrick Mahomes, over the last two postseasons, outside of when he faces Buffalo, so now it's a Bills problem more than anything, but when he doesn't face Buffalo in the postseason, it is the team that wins the game. It is not him. It is not the offense, even in particular. It is strong defensive showings by Steve Spagnuolo's unit. But then they face Buffalo, and everything goes off the haywire. And whether it's A.J. Klein having to chase Travis Kelce, or I can't even explain last year at this point.
Not start, but eventually take over.
Yes, but why is it always something with the Bills' defense? Allen oftentimes has had to, through a collaborative effort, there are games where he doesn't have to take over, but there are now games that in the postseason people remember. The 2022 postseason, chief amongst them. Those two games where he is unreal against the Patriots and the Chiefs. You know how Burrow gets a lot of credit for making a Super Bowl? Allen has now gotten just as much credit through his performances consistently in the playoffs, where ultimately his team does let him down. But why is Mahomes over Allen at one? Well, in the games that they have to face each other in the playoffs, it is shot for shot.
Yeah, Mahomes and Allen play their best football.
They go shot for shot at that point. And when you go shot for shot, whoever wins is the one that you're favoring in a ranking. Why? It's simple logic. That's why.
Yeah. I'll also say, too, Allen, and maybe this is also a big part of him, too, in the opposite vein for Lamar. Lamar has typically turned the ball over more in the playoffs. Allen, we know, has been punished by people for turning the ball over too much. But in four of the six postseasons he's been in, he hasn't thrown an interception, including the last two.
Which is wild.
And so there maybe is that feeling for Allen of he plays his best football January on, where Lamar plays his best football September to December.
And welcome to the difference between number two.
Yeah, and number four. I just, with Burrow, though, Fowler brought up that idea that people are believing that they're wasting Burrow. I think we've maybe gotten to that point. And the reason why I want to bring this up, too, is because it's something that has definitely been brought up with Bills fans, the feeling of, and I've even mentioned it, too, I can fully understand when people are kind of done with McDermott. This is going to be, what, year nine now? Like, are we going to give him all of Allen's prime? I can understand that feeling of, like, are we really going to do that? You look at Burrow, though. He hasn't made the playoffs in the last 2 years. Allen has made the playoffs every year since ascending. Even before he ascended in 2019,
It's all he has made the playoffs every year outside of his rookie year.
Outside of his rookie year, where Burrow now has made the playoffs twice. He's going into year six. And so that to me is where we get into the conversation of wasting.
Yes.
Of having that elite quarterback talent. It's inarguable. Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks of his generation. And this is where, and I wanted to almost catch myself, but I'm glad we kind of waited now until say it. I said, I think Burrow might win an MVP. Like, I just think that'll happen. They'll eventually give him one. But I think the quarterback he's maybe most comparable to now didn't win one. Not as famously so as I think Russell Wilson, but Drew Brees did not win one. For all of his gaudy stats and everything like that, he often finished second to Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that.
He would often, not often, but he would also sometimes miss the playoffs.
Well, and that, for me, almost became famously so, that his teams would be horrendous on defense. Derek, so they win the Super Bowl in 2009. Famous. Brees was awesome that year. Incredibly accurate. 34 touchdowns. 70 completion percentage.
Storybook season for the Saints.
Yep. They go then to the playoffs the next 2 years, although in 2010 they lose to a under 500 record Seattle Seahawk team.
Who hosted a playoff game.
Yep. Then go 13-3 in 2011. And then the next year, 7-9. Then go 11-5 in 2013. And then for the next 3 years, they don't make the playoffs in Brees' mid-30s. 7-9, 7-8, 7-9 are his records with those teams. And then you have the 2 years where the Saints are arguably the most talented team in football, but Brees is at the end of his rope. They get the bad call against the Rams, and then his career kind of fizzles out. 2019, he only plays 11 games, 8-3, and then 2020 plays 12 games, 9-3, but his ability has clearly diminished. He's still accurate, but his ability is clearly diminished. He also missed the playoffs early in his career with the Saints. They make the NFC Championship game, if you remember, in 2006, his first year there. Mm-hmm. It's post-Katrina. There's a lot of vibe there. They go 10-6. They make the NFC Championship. They miss the playoffs the next 2 years at 7-9 and 8-8.
Yeah. Man, that is such a wild career.
Like, inarguably, he's the best Saints player ever, and they had a really good run with him. And for how many years he was there, you are going to miss the playoffs. Teams turn over, talent doesn't work out, what have you. But Burrow already in his early career, and he was a guy that came in older. He was 24 when he came in and has already picked up some major injuries. He's somebody I do look
at
and wonder.
He also has a buzzsaw of a division.
He does.
There is a bit of a, and this is why like him getting to three is a little bit more fascinating, but when it comes to pure talent, the top four should be an assortment and collection of.
Of that group.
Of that group.
I agree. But he Burrow is also does. Somebody I now look at and go, how many more years do we have of him? You can say that negatively yes. or positively, especially if you're a Bills fan. But I also look at somebody like an Andrew Luck, who was on a horrendously run Colts team. Oh. Now, he took a beating. And that's the thing. He had some injuries where he had to go to Europe to like get them diagnosed and to figure out the treatment, the whole thing.
It took him 2 years to be fixed to play yep. one season. And then he said, no, this isn't worth it anymore.
But Burrow has also gone through hell. I've mentioned he's picked up some injuries here. I mean, hell, the one season.
Three major ones.
Yeah, 2023, when they also don't make the playoffs, they do finish, I think, with the same record, 9-8. I think it's the same record both ways, and Jake Browning plays pretty well. But Burrow himself is 5-5 in that run. They're not, they weren't clearly going to make it with him
there. It
was
a different 5-5, though, because he starts that season with a calf injury.
Yes.
He's not as mobile. He doesn't get to manipulate the pocket. He's more or less a true statue.
Mm-hmm. He has suffered a major knee injury. He has the whole wrist thing going on, which is still kind of unknown what that's going to mean for him later on in his career. He has picked up some, and you mentioned the statue too. He was ranked as a dual threat quarterback coming out of high school, going to Ohio State initially. He was somebody that had wheels, tore up his knee in his rookie year.
And he still has mm-hmm. them, because I do mention, like, it's a very clear hierarchy between the four of them of mobility. Jackson, Allen, Mahomes, Burrow. And it's all noticeable gaps between the four of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's a noticeable gap between one and two, a noticeable gap between Allen and Mahomes on the rushing ability, not pocket escape ability, mm-hmm. but rushing ability. That's what separates the two of them. And then between Mahomes and Burrow, it's very distant there as well.
Yes.
So that's where it's like Burrow still is a mobile-esque quarterback, but compared to those three, he's a statue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weird thing.
That's the weird thing. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we hit our next timeout, I want to remind you, Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back, ready to tee up for free. Every Friday, we're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore Golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up hour number one. We'll be with you until 12 o'clock as Sabres Live will take over then. But tomorrow, rookies report for the Buffalo Bills and a bevy of other teams, but maybe the biggest storyline for tomorrow, for a lot of teams, and really the league at large, is what is going to be happening with 30 of the 32 second-round picks in this year's draft. As we do know, most of them have been unsigned, 30 of them. And with the Chargers reporting, rookies reporting this weekend, we do know their second-round pick, wide receiver Trey Harris out of Ole Miss, is holding out. TJ Sanders, up there for the Bills, has still not obviously signed his contract. The only two are actually a wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Jaden Higgins got a fully guaranteed deal. And then the next day, Cleveland did the same thing for their linebacker, Carson Schwesinger out of UCLA. Those are the only two that are signed. They have fully guaranteed deals. That appears to be what the other 30 are waiting for.
And that's a fascinating thing because there is the report from Pablo Torre and the investigation that he's been going in on about the NFL potentially colluding on trying to give less guaranteed money these days. Especially if it's a thing that has not been historically something that second-round picks receive, you're now getting a little bit of a disagreement between general managers operating the way that they are.
Mm-hmm.
But with 30 out of 32 unsigned, the only piece of this I'm going to say is it leans toward more credibility toward Torre's report when there are 30 of 32 second-round picks not signed and guaranteed money is potentially one of the biggest cruxes going on in terms of these negotiations.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Do you want to touch back on that quarterback list we were talking about? There's also one done by SB Nation talking about the top 30 all-time in the Super Bowl era. Two Bills quarterbacks wind up there. We've been talking a lot about one today. We'll touch on the other one as well after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.